नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2nd, chapter number 9, and text number 38, in the matter of the answers by citing the Lord's version. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sampradishya, Evam, Ajanaha, जनानां परमेष्ठिनां पश्यतः तस्य तत् रूपं आत्मनः न्यरुनयत् न्यरुनत् हरिः। श्रीशुक उवाच संप्रदिश्यैवम् अजनो जनानां परमेष्ठिनं पश्यतस्तस्य तद्रूपं आत्मनोऽन्यरुणधरिः। श्रीशुक उवाच संप्रदिश्यैवम् अजनो जनानां परमेष्ठिनं पश्यतस्य तद्रूपम् आत्मनोऽन्यरुणध्वरि। श्रीशुक उवाच संप्रदिश्यैवम् अजनो जनानां परमेष्ठिनं पश्यतस्तस्य तद्रूपम् आत्मनोऽन्यरुणधरिः। श्रीशुक उवाच श्रीशुकदेव गोस्वामी सेठ संप्रदिश्य fully instructing Brahmaji, evam, thus, ajanaha, the Supreme Lord, jnanam, of the, jananam, of the living entities, parameshthinam, unto the Supreme Leader Brahma, pashyataha, while he was seeing, tasya, his, tad, rupam, that transcendental form, atmanaha, of the absolute, nyarunat, disappeared, harihi, the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the supreme personality of Godhead, harihi, after being seen in his transcendental form, instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities disappeared. In this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is Ajanaha, or the Supreme Person, and that he was showing his transcendental form, Atmano Rupam, to Brahmaji, while instructing him in the summarization of Srimad Bhagavatam in 4 verses. He is Ajanaha, or the Supreme Person amongst the Jananam, or all persons. All living entities are individual persons, and amongst all such persons, Lord Hari is the Supreme, as confirmed in the Shruti Mantra Nityo Nityanam Shetanas Shetananam. So there is no place for impersonal feature in the transcendental world, as there are impersonal features in the material world. Whenever there is chetana or knowledge, the personal feature comes in. In the spiritual world, everything is full of knowledge, and therefore everything in the transcendental world, the land, the water, the tree, the mountains, the river, the man, the animal, the bird, everything is of the same quality, namely chetana, and therefore everything there is individual and personal. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this information as the supreme Vedic literature, and it was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahmaji so that the leader of the living entities might broadcast the message to all the universe in order to teach the supreme knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. Brahmaji in his turn instructed Narada, his beloved son, the same message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Narada in turn taught the same to Vyasadeva, who again taught it to Sukadeva Goswami. So through Sukadeva Goswami's grace and by the mercy of Maharaj Parikshit, we are given Srimad Bhagavatam perpetually to learn the science of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasa Hare Hare. Shri Shuka Vacha. Sampradishyaivam Ajano Jananam Parameshtinam Pashyatastasya Tadarupam Atmano Anyadruna Parihi. Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, after being seen in his transcendental form, instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities disappeared. So, here Srila Prabhupada takes up the point of confirmation that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization and he cannot be impersonal. He cannot be impersonal. Impersonal is like influence, and even a person is somewhere, but his influence exists everywhere. You can see in India, the recent election, Narendra Modi came. He was a simple Gujarati chaiwala. Nobody knew at that time his influence, but he won the election and everybody knows his influence. His influence reached all the way to Obama. Obama is now reconsidering him. So this influence that he created around him by his activity or by his personality, this influence is impersonal in nature. So there are every chances that at that level, we may not know. But the impersonality is the influence that comes from a person ultimately. So how can the impersonalist and Mayavadis conclude that the Lord has no form? It is very erroneous. But this Srimad Bhagavatam is the treatise on the personality of the Godhead. He is not only the individual, but he is a person. An individual has personality. Otherwise, individuality has no meaning. Impersonal nature cannot describe the individuality. Therefore, they cleverly want to merge or annihilate their personality. That is the nature. A completely reverse psychology. I'm right now a person, but I'm thinking, I'm unseen, therefore I must be impersonal. So similarly, God should be impersonal. It must be some Shakti. But Shakti also manifests that he doesn't know. And he has manifested because he is also Shakti. So the idea is that erroneous conclusions, they mislead people. They continue the envious nature to interact. It's a direct reflection of envious nature is called impersonal. Because it is coming out from the personality. It's coming out from. When the rays of the sun are coming out, the rays do not themselves have much effect unless and until they strike something, an object in between. So every living or non-living entities, they are coming in contact with the radiation, which is impersonal. But they are also made up of particles. Nothing is impersonal. And therefore, they hurt. Radiation hurts. So, Brahma Jyoti is like radiation. But the same radiation can be utilized to cure some diseases. Because it should kill ignorance. Radiation or the Brahma Jyoti or Brahma Gyan, which is coming from the Lord Himself is to speak. The Gyan is not something hanging in the thin air and automatically it comes to you because you are a non-believer in personality. Means you are impersonal. You do not resort or you negate the personality wherever the personality is. Right? So if you keep on negating him, you think then you will be able to get that knowledge of impersonal nature. And then you try to merge yourself into that impersonal nature. These are all envious acts. Because they want to avoid surrender. Surrender is a process to only personality. Whom would you surrender which is hanging in the thin air? No. So, you negate yourself even. Therefore, a person who is having the erroneous idea that impersonal is everything, he negates himself, cheats himself, kills himself, called spiritual suicide, and he kills also Krishna. So, one who kills himself by negating, he is called impersonalist, and one who kills Krishna is called Mayavadi. This is the only difference. Mayavadi is a step ahead in killing. But Mayavadi is clever. He doesn't want to kill himself but kill Krishna. Because he wants to become God himself. So, Krishna is telling, avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyate mam abuddhaya. Oh, I have achieved this form from nothing. Avyaktam, which is unmanifested. Now I became manifested. That is the height of nonsense. How can anything come out from the thin air? You are kidding yourself. Did you come out in the thin air? No. But then, it matters to God and all the credits has to go to Him, we become envious and we say, no way, no way. I can't allow you to be supreme. I am the supreme. Like that. So, the two words are used for Jananam and Parmeshtinam. Just like manifested living entities, they are under the leadership of Parameshti, supreme individual occupying the place of knowledge. He deserves that knowledge and then he distributes the knowledge also. That is Parameshti. Param is supreme and Stha means he is steady in that position. It's called Parameshthi. But Parameshthi applied to all manifested living entities for some time. They will be annihilated. But they will not lose their identity. So Prabhupada quotes the verse of Kathopanishad, Nityo Nityanam Schetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kama. Eko Bahunam. So there are many, right? But there is one who is the origin of many, and one is fulfilling the desires of everyone. They are all individuals. How come we want to fulfill our desires and we are manifested individuals, and every individual has a different desire, and we deny Krishna his individuality and even to acknowledge that he has desires? One cannot become desireless, because desires are coming from Krishna. But they may come as a perverted reflection. Then we are at fault, not he is at fault. The perversion of love is enviousness. Where there is enviousness, love cannot exist. It becomes obscure by its absence. So the whole material creation was coming from the perverted reflection of the Chintamani Dham. Chintamani has a lot of varieties, but the same varieties can also be pervertedly found here in so-called opulences. So when we hear about Chintamani Prakara Sadvashu, Kalpa Vriksha Lakshavritesu, everything is made up of Chintamani gem. So we conceive that this Chintamani gem must have a kind of shape and beautiful color that we want to put in the ring or this, but nothing is Chintamani. Probably because we have chinta and we wear this money to get rid of chinta. This is not chinta money. It is a perverted thing. But what can I do? I have to promise my mother, and she wanted me to wear. She knew. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble. So she was worried, and before she passed away, I had to promise her, okay, I'll wear. Chinta means conscious. Chit Shakti. From Chit Shakti, the word Chinta came. But chinta also means, in our terms, that it is worries. It's called chintas, right? Means there is a completely opposite evaluation. In Chintamani Dham of Golok Vrindavan, you think and it manifests. You think and it manifests simultaneously. And here you have to make efforts to manifest. And you have to purchase with little price of so-called worries to be mitigated. So there is no worry. In Golok Vrindavan, there is no worry, because everything is chintam. So we have to also come on the terms of, we think of Krishna, and Krishna manifests. We think of Krishna. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. And we say, oh, I have been thinking about him for several years. It's 45 years now. The movement has started. I joined thee then. I'm the most senior in this. But worries are still there. We are not becoming worry-free. Because even though we got the ticket to go back home, back to Godhead, we want to visit the in-between places. By our own concoction, right? And therefore we are delaying. But otherwise, the manifestation is so spontaneous. You think and it manifests. That is called chintamanita. But the asuric or the envious nature dictates, and they become victimized of their own. Chintam aparimeyam. Aparimeya means immeasurable. They are accumulating so many worries, those who are envious people. That they can't even cooperate properly. And Srila Prabhupada says, if you love me, you have right to disagree, but if you love me, just cooperate. Those who have worries, they fail to cooperate. But in Krishna consciousness, this chinta should not be there. Have faith on Lord Krishna, because that is the realm of cultivating the consciousness which makes us free of worries. Otherwise, if we worry, our worries become stumbling blocks in cooperation. The glimpse of Chintamani Dham is created in the temple by following Srila Prabhupada. Sanctum Sanctorum means it is the most purified place of existence where Lord Krishna is residing. It should not be an ordinary place. So temples are necessary. And Mayavadi says temples are not necessary. See the difference? Your factories are your temple. Your work is the worship. Everything completely opposite. But still they are filled with miserable worries. Miserable. Miserable is a miser. One who is a miserable is called miser. So, avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam abuddhaya. Abuddhaya means senseless. Senseless. Krishna says, they think that I have become manifested from an unmanifested state. What is an unmanifested state? Is there an unmanifested state? Yes, if you see through the eyes of limited sense perception, then it will be unmanifested. But does it mean that it doesn't exist? When our eyes are having limited vision. So for example, they say to observe a beauty, beautiful scene or beauty of Lord Krishna. Alright? The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Right? Not in the eyes itself. Eyes are cameras, they cannot even see the image themselves. Neither they appreciate. The beholder is the living entity. The beholder is living entity. And how the beholder is cultivating the knowledge of vision. Yah pasyati, sa pasyati. We have to cultivate the vision according to the teachings of Lord Krishna. He says, one who follows my instruction, then he sees the things as they are. Right? So, he will see Krishna as the Supreme Person. If one does not follow Krishna's instruction, then he fails to understand what is personal, what is important. He wouldn't have anything. The whole 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna utilizes to change our vision and find out. The challenge is given. Who is that Supreme Person? Uttamaha purushastanya paramatmityudahruta. He indicates that that is me. But you have to find out. So, impersonal has not locustendi. And there are so-called leaders, you know. They would not understand anything, but yet they want to make themselves more important than Krishna. Utilizing Krishna's teaching, people have claimed, it's on the record, that they spoke Bhagavad Gita themselves. One. Second, that Krishna is impersonal. You don't have to worship him. Or surrender to him. Rather, one who is unseen and speaking through him, you have to surrender. And Prabhupada, you know, pulls their tail out. Really. So, there are, and that the whole world is being misled by this kind of nonsensical understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was being seen by Brahma. And Gopal Tapani Upanishad went further to tell that he was seeing the Bal Gopal, the child Gopal, the original form of the Lord. But here it is said, while he was seeing, the Lord disappeared. The Lord disappeared. In the beginning, the Lord was Hiranyagarbha, so he was lying in the causal ocean. Garbhodak ocean. Right? And Brahma got a glimpse. Oh, because otherwise he was born in the darkness of ignorance. He could not estimate about himself alone on his own. He tried to find out who is he, where is he, what is he, because it was total darkness. On his own, he failed. It is said he entered the center of the lotus where it is connected to the stem, and the stem is connected to the navel region. He went all the way down, but could not understand where is he. The navel region is so immense. That he got a fear of getting lost. So he came back. He came back. How he came back? People, I mean the conscious living entity, has the first sense of direction. The way he comes, that way he goes. If the ant is coming and you push it away, she will come again on the same route. All the animals, they choose their boundary by urinating around, and that becomes their protection. And they go by the smell. If anybody comes, then they challenge. The direction of the smell of a carnivorous animal is immediately perceived when it goes via direction of the air or the wind, and they become alert. So every living entities, however smaller they are, they have the sense of direction. So Brahma went back the way he came, but still frustrated because he could not fathom who he is. So at that time, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu said tapa, tapa twice. And this transcendental sound vibration of tapa went into 8 ears of Brahma, and he said, yes. Yesterday, at the same time, I did tapascharya. Okay, let me do again. So, by that proper purification, you know, Brahma was able to understand. Now he is seeing the Lord who spoke. First of all, he showed his lotus feet. Raised his lotus feet. Hey, surrender. Then he explained this Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Every day the Lord has to recite Chatushloki Bhagavatam so he can get his senses back to recreate. The day starts with the darshan of Hiranyagarbha. And because he is an entity, he will forget. He will be forced to forget. When the night of Brahma comes for 12 hours, do you think what he is going to do? No. As if he is in oblivion. All living entities are forced to go to sleep. And then in the morning, he acts like a potter. Ingredients are there. Okay, start making the pot and put every living entity into it, both male, female, and then let them create other pots. Can a pot, this pot can create another pot? No. But this pot can create, this pot can create, this pot can create. So, creativity is a process of impelled by mode of Rajogun and Paramesthi, the best of all the men. He has to make this application to procreate. So, Brahma is going to begin his day. It is also somewhere said that Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, extended his hand to make a shake hand with him. And Brahma realized that, yes, he has to do a good, faithful friend. He has to do all these activities in his, you know. But then, if this is happening at the level of Garbhodak Ocean, and Brahma is a living entity now, so all the material planetary system and everything will be developed simultaneously. They reside around the stem of the lotus and under the lotus petal, because that's above is Golok Vrindavan now. So Brahma has to come down, and it's explained in the fifth canto, where now temple of Vedic planetarium will have to exhibit all this thing. Have you seen the latest of their modeling, TOVP? Right. Lokaloka mountain and the separation with milk of ocean, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu would be there, you know. So, but this is the Hiranyagarbha is addressed as he's the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, right? Where Brahma is born on the navel, the lotus come out. So the lotus becomes Brahmaloka, and the situation is said to be on the topmost of Lokaloka mountain, right? And then all other planetary systems would be around that or underneath. So it is said that after this instruction, the Lord shows his original form of Bal Gopal, and then he disappears. While he was having darshan, right from his eyes he disappeared. So, disappearance doesn't mean that now the Lord will cease to exist. Because in the function of Brahma, where now predominant mode of passion is going to work. So therefore, the Lord will not be seen. In the creation aspect, the Lord will not be seen. This is called secondary creation or visarga. At that time, instructions are there. The Lord gave instructions, and Brahma has to follow the instructions and put his creativity at work. Right? So, then the Lord has to disappear. It doesn't mean he's not existing. From that point, on onset of creation, the Lord does not take direct indulgence. He leaves up to Brahma that he does visarga, but as service to the Lord, because he borrowed the energy. Brahma's prayers will be pertinent to that. That my dear Lord, I have to use you and your sources of energy. Right? So, those prayers are there. They are very wonderful prayers of Lord Brahma. And because he is borrowing the energy, he has to use this energy in service of the Lord. So, for Brahma, the Lord is not impersonal. Even though he disappeared and he was entrusted to recreate what he did the previous day. So another kalpa is beginning, and Brahma will be busy tackling the problems of creation. Brahma started getting problems, and he became very, very affected by worries also. Brahma is such a powerful person, all right? Paramesti, all right? All the demigods are under his shelter, and he becomes like a grandfather to all of them. And he does all the functions of recreation, that is visarga. And during this If you start saying that he is so powerful that he can create simply by thinking, because he was given audience and empowerment by the Lord, he borrowed his energy. So can you imagine the manifestations of the living entities that he started simply by thinking? The first were four Kumaras. They are called Manasaputra. He contemplated and they came to be equipped with this transcendental knowledge, right? But they were individuals, so Brahma told them, become Prajapati. They said, forget it, father. Right? We don't want to mess our lives. And Brahma's worry. Immediate reaction. He became angry. Because his desire, consequently, you know, that he has to serve the Lord, the first the quadruplet denied him. So naturally, when the desires are frustrated, anger comes. And out of the anger, Rudra, you know, simply looking at the situation of his mind, another entity came, that is Rudra. He came crying. Oh, Father, you are creating the place. Where is my place? Give me. And tell me, what should I do? And Brahma told him to become Prajapati. There was no other order. Just to become Prajapati. So populate the world. It means the worry started right from the begetting. The method of begetting was mental conception. Then he started producing from his limbs, you know. But every time he confronted with problems, you know what happened? The Rudras, they will also make others cry. Means the progeny of Rudras and progeny of this Manasputras, including then Saptarshis and others, you know, great rishis, they came in conflict. And they were devouring or exterminating the progeny of the Manasaputras. So Brahma said, what is this? Again frustration? But he never thought that he should become a brahmachari. He was stuck. He was stuck. You know? Because that is his function. He was stuck. He said, stop it. Told Rudras, stop it. You can't kill your brothers. Brothers. They did not have any idea. And Brahma thought, this is not the way to increase the population. You know. So, procreation is a problem. Even though Brahma tried to keep hard in the mind with the pure conception, even pure entities will come, but in the material world, the worries will be following. Right? Then he thought, oh, I should make another device, how to procreate. So Manu and Shatrupa both came from his limb. And from that day onwards, you know, the procreation started by male-female combination. You know, otherwise there was no need for female up to that point. And all the praja called Manav, they are the descendants of Manu. And then we read that Manu had three daughters and two sons, Devahuti, Akuti, and Prasuti. And subsequent rishis of Brahma's, they got married, and then the praja started, where Daksha Prajapati, the expert in sex life, is called Daksha. We hear about him. But everything is frustrated and mitigated by devotional service. We see everything out there shows the practicality of frustrations. And when we ask a question, but how do I do? You need a practical answer, right? So to mitigate the problems. But we were very practical in creating problems then. So become more practical to surrender to the Lord and tolerate the inconveniences created by the mode of Rajogun. Rajogun has a result of creating worries. So, for adarsha, grahasthasam, ideal household life, this is the first and foremost lesson Narad Muni gives to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Man, you are so brave. You want to now enter into the world of worries? Then, think of Krishna. Always remain obedient to his instructions and apply prudently. How would you make the whole family Krishna conscious? Therefore, you need a guru. So, you will be facing, you know, in between the problems, worries, problems is worries. Chinta. And this chinta is also like burning fire called chita. It's not cool-headed enterprise. It is burning. It will burn us first. Sansara vishanale dibanishi hiya jwale dekhinuna upay. The day and night we are simply burning in the fire of sansara. And day and night our heart is burning. When the heart is burning, everything inside, the soul is also not happy. But the super soul is not affected by it. You ask for it, you get it. And don't deny. Don't make an excuse. By remaining impersonal, we will negate up to that extent. We will deny ourselves, deny our partners even. When husband and wife fights in the house, in the same shelter, immediately they become impersonal. I will see you. If you come in my jurisdiction, better watch out. Go and eat outside. Don't come in my kitchen. Because, you know, without the Supreme Personality concept, nothing can mitigate. You know, at every stage, you know, the indulgence of the Lord has been there, and we fail to recognize. So how is it possible to get peace of mind even? So now Brahma sees that the Lord is disappearing. And we think now the real time is that the Lord should accompany us. Because do you think he is going to witness what you are going to do? And what you are going to suffer? No. His will is, because you asked for it, he provided all the facility. He shows the methodology and everything. You ask it and you got it. But Krishna is not partaking in the reaction of it. He's detached from the reaction. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phalesprah itiyo mam abhijanati karma bhirapi na badyate. This activities, karma means actions of mode of passion. Every action is impelled by the mode of passion. Otherwise, why one is advised to give up all the activities and sit down in the corner and simply meditate on the tip of your nose by vibrating, Om. No karma. No karma, but mental karma will be there. The problems are there of the attachment and everything. So, the whole idea is now, it is the responsibility of Brahma how to execute the Lord's desire. So, on behalf of the Lord, he is becoming conversant, And this whole conception is personal. It cannot be impersonal. So even though the Lord disappeared doesn't mean he passed away. No. He is ever existing. Brahma is a limited person and he will not be able to see him for some time till next day. Suppose you are ordered to do some function, so you go out and act. Again you come back in the night, right? Then you have the same darshan and go out. Keep on doing it as long as you live. So the first and foremost, activity is belonging to the Supreme for his pleasure. That should be the resolve. And because he is person, then our conception should be personal. Or because he is not existing right now, I have every right to become impersonal. That is an erroneous idea. Because this impersonalism reaches to other living entities too. If we are impersonal to the Supreme, then we extend that impersonality to everyone. Means we are not their well-wishers even. No benevolence, nothing. No mercy, nothing. So impersonalism is a very envious stage of knowledge. Envious stage of knowledge. So, and it must fall down. It comes. Bhagavatam is the only literature you will find that will defy impersonalism. Otherwise, Kathopanishad does not indicate directly the person. Only Ishopanishad indicates. Right? That's why Prabhupada was interested to translate that Ishopanishad, not Kathopanishad even though we quote so many. because indirect or impersonal feature of the Lord, or they make it impersonal. But the increment in the understanding should rise from impersonal to personal. But they choose not to. So does it mean these Upanishads are not indicating towards the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead? They can indicate the demigods and Mahajanas too. The story of Nachiketa is there in Kathopanishad. His father was donating so many cows because he is a Brahmana and he received, so he donates. So the little boy said, Father, what are you doing? And he says, I'm giving cows in charity. But again he asked, he said, don't you see I'm distributing cows? But now, third time he asked, then he became angry. Don't you understand that I am distributing the cows as donations? So he said, so Father, the cows are your property. You got it. And you are donating to the people. I am also your property. Whom you are donating me to? And Father got angry. I'm donating you to a Yamaraj. So I said, okay, bye. So he went on the southern gate to the Yamaraj. Even Yamadutas got surprised. Who is this child coming on his own? Not accompanied by anybody. Children are not supposed to accumulate any karma. But how come this boy comes? We don't have his name in the list even. So, he says, I want to see Yamaraj. Who are you? Nobody comes here. How dare you come? Well, my father donated me to Yamaraj, so I belong to him now. And they could not understand, because Yamdutas don't have brains. They execute the work. So Yamaraj came out. Wow, boy, who are you? He says, my name is Nachiketa. How can I serve you? My father donated me to you. Oh, is that so? Okay, so come. What do you want to know? I do not understand. What is this donation about? It's a purifying process. For what? And boy asks the question about the soul, its relationship with the Supreme. And Yamaraj is the authority. He taught everything about devotional service. And thus the boy got educated. He was brilliant. So Yamaraj says, surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. He is the ultimate of all knowledge. So, worship Him utterly. Now you go back and teach to others. So, the boy said, okay, thank you. You are letting me free, so I will go. So, he went and came. Now, meanwhile, the father was very much despondent. What did he say in the anger? Oh my God. My son was a Brahman. You know, I'm a Brahmahatya, Brahmarakshas. I'm going to go to the hell and get punished. And he was repenting so much. But he saw Nachiketa come. And he went, ran and embraced him. But he saw, then how is it possible a Brahmana's curse can be ever reverted? And beautiful conversation starts, and Nachiketa explained the pure devotional service. and his father became his student. So the idea is that the Yamaraj is a pure devotee, and he teaches about the pure devotional service. Nachiketa was not afraid because he has been totally liberated by coming through this family. It was a Brahmin family, as well as they know Brahman, but yet they are engrossed by the acts. Even the act of charity is purifying, and it is recommended that one must keep on performing. But at the same time, in what mood one is doing the charity. This was completely mode of ignorance pervaded while he said, I am donating you to Yamaraj. So that was a false ego made up of ignorance was, interfering in the act. So even Kathopanishad does not deny the personality aspect of the God. But it is not directly mentioned. But nonetheless, Yamaraj, he is a pure devotee, he has been mentioned, and he teaches Nachiketa about the devotional service to the Supreme Person, not to the unknown. So it's an indirect. But here, the devotee requests in Ishopanishad, request, my dear Lord, if you think I'm qualified, then please show your dazzling, your bright face, beautiful face, behind the dazzling effulgence. Behind the dazzling effulgence. So, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasyapi Hitam Mukham. Mukham, the feature of the personal feature of the Lord, which we are always anxious to see first. But even though the process is to start from the lotus feet, then gradually rise above, so we will be able to see him perfectly. So anyway, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidatati kama. This is also taken from Kathopanishad. Their indication is without nomenclature, doesn't mean the personality doesn't exist. Nitya means eternal. Nityanam, we are also eternals. But he is the chief of all the eternals. And he is the only one who fulfills the desires of everyone. Now, this nomenclature of he means the Purusha. Because the Lord is not Shakti. Otherwise we would have used she. But he is a Purusha, Parama Purusham, Purushottamam. Therefore it is always used he. And one who is in this consciousness, then he is also addressed as he. For the living entity, the word is used he, not she. So, hey, this is not meant for ladies. No, no. One has to become conversant, as subservient to the Lord. What is the difference between the personality aspect of the master and servant? Master and Master is the Supreme Person. Therefore, fragmental part is also person. So, person is called Purusha. But we, out of perverted reflection, we see the person means he, means Purusha, and she is Prakriti. No, that is a perverted reflection. Such nomenclature of masculine and feminine are differentiated without proper connotation to the nature of the soul. So, one has to rise above in personalism aspect. Then Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literature address the living entity as he, like that. A fragmental part of the Supreme Purus, how can ever become she? But by subservient nature, it is Shakti. Shakti is supposed to be subservient. Therefore, everyone is she. She means subserviency. Right? And this is to restrict that he may not become false Purusha. False Purusha. Then he will be cheated. So anybody has any question about this? Yes? Yesterday, I forgot everything. Right.
So, how is what do you mean by serving like Krishna?
Okay. Yeah, Krishna speaks this verse himself in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. After killing Pralambasur, every gopas and Krishna, they think they were tired. So Krishna says, Baldav Bhaiya, let's go. And under the shade of the tree, you know, let's get cool off. We worked hard to kill this demon. So Balaram says, okay, and can I come and sleep in my lap? So he was helping. And Krishna was looking at the tree. All of a sudden he started speaking. Look at the benevolence of this tree. They live for the sake of others. Right? They give shade, cooling effect. They give fruits. They give the wood even for fire. They are living for others. Now, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what about the living entity who have gone away from me? They are going to live for themselves. I am the Supreme Person. They don't want to live. They think I am the other one, but they should work for me. So like that, he quotes this. Etanvan janma saphalyam dehinam iha deheshu pranai arthai deha vacha archanam dehinam sada. Says, this success of the embodied soul is that he should dedicate his prana, the life, for my sake. If it is not possible, then arthai, work for me or give me your results. If not, give me your intelligence. You don't have intelligence? Okay, chant Hare Krishna. That is vacha. Give me your tongue of vibrations. So, like that. That these are the methods of becoming successful in going back home, back to Godhead. Krishna gives this opportunity to any person who can do this way. So, how can we do this? Why can't we do this? If we can't give, and these are the method of giving charity, right? By artha, means charitable. But yad karoshi yadashnasi yajju hosi dadasi yad yad tat pasisi kaunte tad kurushva madarpanam. That dadasi is kurushva madarpanam. Don't give it to anybody else. There are so many mayavadis, people follow them. So similarly for charity also they do the same mistake. But when we come to Krishna consciousness and evaluate the root cause of others following is impersonalism. Mayavad do not follow. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The scriptures proclaim him as such. He himself tells. So why should we harbor enviousness with him? So it is a conscious evolution that more a human being is evolved in spiritual realm, then he will get the benefit of becoming personalist. And then he will be totally surrendered. So service to the Lord, knowingly or unknowingly, also fructifies in this. Therefore, prerequisite knowledge is not required. By service, the things manifest. Yeah. So, you can serve anyway. How do you like to serve him? You decide. It's voluntary. Yeah, but this categorization come in between. The way we express our desire in serving the Lord, these are all nitty-gritty situations that we create. If we want to go deeper into our own realization, so we may be benefiting ourselves faster, then such introspective calculation and estimation is required. That what category devotee are we? How we understand what is meant by total surrender, partial surrender, four surrender, six things are elaborately described. Are we cultivating that attitude like that? So like that. You heard about the following Srila Prabhupada? What is that? Can you repeat that question?
The question is like, the position of Brahma is given to the soul who is very, who has very good past ready. So what's the qualification required for position of Brahma? And I
got everyone, according to Bhagavatam, who fell, they acquired the position of Brahma first and then degraded themselves into lower and lower species. But again, the chances for hierarchy became. So, labdhva idam sudurlabham bahu sambhavante. So, we were in the cycle of up and down from time immemorial. Up means the topmost is Brahma. Down to the little worm. Okay? So, this position is revolving for time immemorial. So, once upon a time, we were Brahma. And Bhagavatam says that the first allotment of separation gives him the chance to become Brahma, but he messes up. Then he goes down. So, that is punaravartan. Even the planetary systems are also revolving in the same. Not only the jiva with a little house is revolving. The whole planet, the whole universes are also revolving. So, even the position is given, but have you heard Indra also became a pig? So it is coming and going nature, but it gives some education. Yeah. Oh my God. Mataji first.
Yesterday Maharaji said also that we fell from Brahma Jyoti.
Yes.
Does that mean that we were never in Goloka?
Well, the situation of Jiva, even though he's part and parcel of the Lord, because he's all-pervading nature. So, the falling position was from Brahma Jyoti. Suppose we were with Krishna, but we also travel in Vaikuntha. There maybe we were not much happy. So we also try to explore our own self to Brahma Jyoti. And we may be trapped by the impersonalism, means we fell. It's a dangerous situation. But every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Part and parcel of Krishna means we come from the supreme wholesome Krishna, Bhagavan. And we look like Him spirit in our purest situation. Because we are persons, so personality is tagged with them. Just like simply gold is measured by the glare, all right? And if a piece of gold is there, it is also gold. But that is a qualitative nature. But somehow or another, our quantity is very insignificant in front of Krishna. But does it mean that we are having a round shape or a square shape or like Krishna? Krishna is Krishna. If we have the shape of Lord Krishna or the two-handed form, then look, the Gopbalakas, they were also plenty of them. The cow and everyone, every relationship were also existing. But everything is expansion of Krishna, isn't it? So how come Krishna's original form is not being expanded in each and every living entity? How can we disbelieve that? Everyone is in image of the God. But man has physically obtained this image form. Then it is the best conducive boat to cross over the material existence. Even to consider, oh, he looks like us. But then, if we start estimating him just like us and behaves ill with him, then everything is spoiled. If he looks like us, but then how come nothing is affecting? Oh, he's a Superman. He's better than Spider-Man. No, that is a limited physical comparison. It doesn't fit him. The spiritual qualitative descriptions are fitting him. And that kind of quality and activity we have to assume. Quality is Sachidananda and activities is spontaneous devotional service. This makes us well situated in original position where we have left and go through the lower stratus of gradual fall down. It's not instant, gradual. Brahma Jyoti comes from the lotus feet of the Lord, right? So, if we go to Vaikuntha, is it not a fall from Golok Vrindavan? And if one falls from even Vaikuntha to Brahma Jyoti, is it not a fall? Because Goloka Dhamna Nija Dhamni Talecha Tasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Shute Shute. So we must have traversed all these different realms of existence. Is it not a fall? But Krishna says that Yad Gatvana Nivartante Tad Dhamam Paramam Mama. Nivartan means going back. If we are re-established in our original occupational duty in Golok Vrindavan, there are no chances. Because now he is experienced that nothing can be satisfying him except come to the original place of Goloka. So he will stop. For educational purpose, he must have gone, but got the education of a lower and lower rank. So he cannot be satisfied. So he has to go back home. Again, why back home? Means he was there. Return means he was there. But at which level one is falling totally in the material world, that is Brahma Jyoti. That is Brahma Jyoti.
So it's a gradual fall.
Yes. But moving from Goloka to Vaikuntha is possible. And from Vaikuntha to Brahma Jyoti is possible. And where in Brahma Jyoti he ignores the personality aspects. So then he has to come back. Yes. Yeah, from Vaikuntha, they desire to have experience the love of the Lord in more than servitorship, means fraternity, parental and conjugal. These three are absent in Vaikuntha. They are absent in Vaikuntha. They have to serve in awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. So Dasya Bhav is there. But not beyond Dasya Bhav. So, they desire, how do we go? The quickest and easiest is come back further down and take birth. Even the demigods use the same technique from the material world. You know. Otherwise, why there was an option from Vaikuntha either to become devotees for seven lives, for Jay and Vijay, or demons for three lives? Option was there. So if somebody would have preferred to become devotee, for seven lives, and they would have come straight to, you know, the Mrityuloka. But now, they wanted to live more long, and they calculated only three lives will be shorter. But now, they appeared in Satya Yuga. on the onset of creation itself, that as soon as the earth was created, that demon pushed it down on the lower bottom of the Garbhodha Kosam. So, how long they would have fought? When the time period of the austerity that Hiranyakashipu performed may be also described in thousands of years. And what happened during Prahlad Maharaj? He's only a 5-year-old kid. And how come this demon has gone for thousands of years of austerities? How would you reconcile this then? They said demons can be begotten overnight in comparison to human birth of 9 months and 10 days. Immediate, fatafat, expedite, as if they are really outwitting cancer cells. Cancer cells are proliferating faster. But when demons are produced, they come out adult overnight. Can you imagine such a growth, fast growth? And they live for hundreds of thousands of years. But anyway, that is the material calculation of the Satya Yuga. And they act appropriately. But such extended life is of very insignificant nature still in the terms of eternity. So, what difference does it make whether relative or statistically correct or politically correct? What difference does it make? Every time we try to see the significance of relativity and try to see that consistency should be there. But you can't estimate the consistency on a different cyclical level. If you are living in the cycle of Kali Yuga, and that is hardly 100 years, how could you estimate yourself and to live for 100,000 years by your calculation? You will not have faith even of how people used to live in Satya Yuga for 100,000 years. So, this foolish consistency is said to be the small-mindedness of hobgoblins. Are we hobgoblins? Why should we have small-mindedness? Try to understand as far as possible, but then the faith will dictate you beyond that. Got the idea? I mean, we need to think of such parameters. Don't think in relativity only to our poor fund of knowledge. What's your question? Because he forgot in the night. His night was also 12 hours. And the day is how many billions of years? According to our estimation, the same is the night. Can you imagine what such a long sleep? If we forget within 12 hours what we did yesterday in the morning, you name it, I'm eating every day something different and I don't remember what did I eat. My breakfast has not come yet. No, it depends. When you want to forget, you can't forget on your own. Krishna will make you forget. Isn't it? He says in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham radisannivishto martha smritir gnana pohanam cha vedesu sarveshu aham eva vedya vedantakrit veda videva chaham. I am sitting in everyone's heart as Paramatma. And from me, realization, remembrance and forgetfulness comes. He is bold enough to tell. And we are bold enough to blame him. You make me forget. The devil made me. You are devil, you made me do this. Yes.
So I can understand now that the position of Brahma is not a sure thing. It's not that after Brahma Loka you go back to the spiritual world and you can fall down.
Yeah. He also commit mistake. And once, 1 millennium, Brahma created a beautiful daughter and he went after her. And the Kumaras and Rishis chastised the father. Hey, father, watch out, what are you doing? And Brahma thought for a while and he stopped. Then he realized that, oh my God, such desires, it has defiled my consciousness. How can I do the work? So he committed suicide. And he was reinstated in the next life. Then he was able to do. Because this mode of Rajogun even make him victimized. But the Lord is available in any state of existence if we become conversant to his terms in pure devotion. He is available. He is available. And because he is all pervading. Only thing is that we have to saturate with his consciousness. What? Oh my God. He's scoping out. He's scoping out. He wants to go back and it's rare. But when they see that they have to pay for their mistake, then they take also the courage to repay by service to Lord Krishna. What is the easiest way? Tell me. From Brahmaloka direct to Goloka? There is no flight. If it was a free fall, there is no flight that you can ever go. He desires so, but he is trapped in the mode. He may glide further down rather than elevate himself. Yes.
Is it being narrated in the beginning of Brahma's day or at the beginning of
again?
No, the creation begins from the Pradhan Prakriti to Mahatattva. From Mahatattva, then permutation and combination of the three modes of material nature makes subtle to gross manifestations. The living entity was simultaneously introduced through the glance of Mahavishnu. Right? This living entity is spiritual in nature, but he is covered by the three modes. Right? So, this become, this living entity's entry into the existence with the three modes of material nature, he received the false ego, mind, and intelligence. So, these were tightly bound up, and it was too difficult to separate the living entity from this subtle nature. But then, further gliding, he got the gross nature, earth, water, fire, and ether. Because simultaneously, the permutation and combination with the indulgence of Mahavishnu's desire or the glance created from sky to wind or air, from air to water, and from water to fire, and from fire to earth. Sorry, from fire, wind to fire, fire to water, and water to earth. This is the sequence of gross manifestation. And then everything is being sustained. Now, sustained means the entry of the living entity into this primary creatory elements, 24 elements, you know, they become the cause of sustenance. So therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the apare mitastvanyam prakriti viddhi me param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Dharyate jagat. Ja means janma of creation. Gat means gone. And dharyate means maintain. It is the entry of the soul in this gross and subtle elements that sustained force. The creators, the sustenance for some time. If the soul is gone, everything will collapse. Everything will collapse. So, it is the presence of the soul, yaya idam, by the presence of whom the material nature is sustained. The soul is part and parcel, is accompanied by the super soul. So naturally, Krishna is all pervading, and soul with his independent individual desire become distinct from the other one. Otherwise, qualitative oneness is there, that is our common platform. But the desires make us different from each other. You follow? So, the entry of the jiva in the material nature becomes the cause of sustenance of anything. This body is called jagat. A single cell is also called jagat. Big jagat is also jagat. So, from cosmic to micro, all the construction is the same. It is complicated at the micro level and at the macro level also. So jiva gets bewildered in the micro level even. And he will be kept on bewildered even at macro level. Scientists are baffled, isn't it? So, and when the jiva enters through the semen of the father into the womb of, one egg during fertilization. You read in Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranjan, how he enters and how he gets bewildered within a cell. It looks like a big jagat for him. So, there is no difference between micro and macro level. So even though we are so much insignificant, yet we are able to think of Golok Vrindavan, the highest realm, because that medium is of consciousness, chinta. You have right to do chinta, but not fall victim of it, right? All right, thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.